For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Football Friday to you. Hope you are having a good one, and maybe I can make your day a little bit better. The first little nuggets of news trickling out of NRG Stadium or the general grounds there as the team practiced to get ready for Monday Night Football is Nico Collins is practicing once again today, which would today is Friday. Mm-hmm. It would typically be a Thursday practice, the most physical of all the practices, and that feels like a really good indication that Nico Collins is back.
Yeah, he's going to be back. I think we can feel good about that one.
Feel great about that one.
Yeah.
And that'll go a long way in trying to really get this offense humming. But I do wonder, could the offensive solution just be CJ Stroud goes full send? And the reason why I say that is I really enjoy listening to press conferences with this team where you hear CJ and you hear D'Amico, and sometimes you even hear various other players and their availability or whatever, or mm-hmm. you know, and presser or gangers when you know they're at the lock or whatever, and you hear a phrase that pops up time and time again or a thought process and you're like, oh, that was clearly a point of emphasis yeah. that was made by the coaching staff or what have you. And it feels like the one that I heard this week was about CJ just letting it fly.
Mm-hmm.
D'Amico Ryans, we played it earlier where he said that CJ, he's excited to see CJ cut it loose.
Mm-hmm.
And then CJ Stroud, this is a couple of cuts here. This is the first one here where he was asked about how it resonates that D'Amico said that he wants CJ playing more fun and such.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I try to, you know, not only just make plays, but, you know, try to take care of the football and, you know, do the right things to, you know, win the game. And, you know, sometimes they go the way, sometimes they don't. So, you know, that means a lot. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm not just a game manager. I can be a game changer. And, you know, sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. And for me, I'm going to keep the swag. And kind of just like what I told y'all last year, like Steph Curry can go oh for whatever, but he's going to keep shooting. So, you know, that's for me. I'm going to just keep shooting, keep trusting myself, keep trusting the talent God gave me. And, you know, the one of the biggest things, too, is my teammates trust me. You know, me and Dalton talked the other day, and, you know, he has the utmost respect in me, and I have the utmost respect in him. And I needed to hear that, you know, that just, you know, the team still rallies behind me, and they still, you know, want me to be at the helm and love me, you know, through the thick and the thin. So, yeah, it feels good to, you know, still have the backs of my teammate and, you know, to be able to go out there on Sundays and do what I need to do to win the game.
You're right. This is a point of emphasis when you combine that with what D'Amico said.
And then I can give you one more thing that mm-hmm. felt like it solidified it for me, which is this cut 8 here. He was asked what needed to be different in the Lions game for CJ, and he also gave his thoughts on moving forward, which is really the important part.
Yeah, honestly, I would say you can say 3 plays, but when you watch the film, it's like 15. And honestly, I would say this. The perspective that I have after a game is just move on. There's no point of harping back, but at the same time, learn from your mistakes. And I was able to do that with, you know, my coaches and my teammates. And I feel like when I play freely and I play with a mindset of it doesn't matter what happens, and that's how, you know, I kind of played in college, was like, and that's what Coach Day used to tell me, swing as hard as you can. And I feel like, you know, maybe I haven't been doing that lately. And I've been kind of like babying throws here, like, you know, trying to just like, you know, take care of the whole grand scheme of things. And yeah, that's my responsibility, but also swing as hard as I can. And so that's what I plan to do. You know, I don't even know why I even thought like that, but that's my perspective now, is like swing and, you know, knock something out, you know, no matter what it is. But, and I feel like I have that capability through the talent I have. And I also have put it on film time and time again. So I just got to go back and just be myself more and more and more. And more and more and more, and believe in myself and swing as hard as I can.
I mean, I think we both agree. We know what's happening here, right? And I think what's happening here is what we've talked about since last season. Are they going back to last season? This is a passing team. This is a CJ team. Let it rip. You know, and it was also interesting that he said, I've been babying things. He's talking about that tank throw.
That's one of a few that you can point to where you could see where, I don't know if he just didn't feel like he could stand it at times.
Him.
And you could tell that he was, you know, maybe at times his eyes have come down and he's worried about protection and not, you know, finding guys and letting it rip. There's times where you feel like, oh, you can get that throw off. Go ahead and let it fly.
Yeah.
And these felt like all statements of aggression, right? Statements of, oh, I need to be aggressive and just full send this.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's something that is necessary for this team to be better in that way. But then also, you were talking a little bit about something else that I want to get to.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, with C.J. Stroud, you know, you're talking about a guy that is the franchise. Like he is the franchise. Are we going to be in a place where, you know, that they have to rely on him throwing the whole time? Not the whole time, like literally every play, but like it's a pass first team. Talked about it last year. I think that's what it is this year. Is he going to be that guy that can finally let it rip? I think absolutely that's what has to happen here.
So that's from the C.J. Stroud aggression thing, but this is where we come back to the play calling. Because I think that when we talk about, man, C.J. and like why hasn't he been, you know, in playing to the level that we expected and why some people can talk about the possibility of a sophomore slump, some of that is C.J. Stroud and the, you know, ways in which, as his words, not mine, he's been babying throws or what have you. Some of it is also usage. Some of it is the way that this offense is run. And I know that there's been a lot of consternation about Bobby Slowick and sometimes putting him in situations where it's third and long and he has to go make a little bit of magic. And there's a lot of conversation recently about like the Bobby's propensity to call run plays on passing downs. And so I went and looked at this a little bit, and it's true. And I think this
it is true,
right? Like, I mean, not that I didn't believe you, but I went and did the research as best as I could to see some of these things. And I'm gonna try not to throw a whole bunch of numbers at you, but like when it comes to second down and long, which is 7+, you see a lot of running by this team. They literally run the second most amount on these downs, which is 68 rush attempts, a good 9 rush attempts more than the next team. And they're stuffed, literally not having a positive play, the 6th most. And their success rate is the 24th best.
I mean, put those together.
Right?
Like, that's second and long. They do it more than anyone, and they're stuffed just about more than anyone.
On first down?
Right.
On first down, they run 54% of the time. Was it actually 18th? Mm-hmm. So that is fine. But their success rate running on first down, 32nd.
Yeah.
Literally the worst. They're stuffed the worst, literally the most amount. Of any team when they run on first down. Like these, they're not putting CJ in a good position to succeed. And a lot of times it feels like it's run, pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pass is third and long. And especially of late, you haven't had Nico Collins to at least help you in the bailout of some of those things.
Yeah.
And there's no, I mean, I understand why CJ Stroud has been in this place where he has not been effective. And so one of the things that's been even more frustrating in addition to that information is that the first down run heaviness has increased mostly since week 6, right? Like the week 1 success rate, which was clearly going to be the best when it came to the way that this team ran week 1 at Indy, that was the best for Houston. That's the 43rd best success rate running the football of all the you know, weeks of performance that a team has put up. So even in your best situation running the football, you weren't putting up like a all-world performance in this NFL. Like, it just feels like, hey, I understand that this is the basic tenets of the offense, Bobby, but it feels like you're getting to a point where, hey, maybe just lean into, let CJ Stroud go full send, throw on more of these first downs to get yourself in a better situation. Throw, especially when you're in second and long. I understand maybe a second and short you run the football. A second and long, give him an opportunity to pick up yards through the air, because especially now, you have Nico Collins, one of the best wide receivers in the league. John Metchie is showing and proving that he can get open, give him some eyes. And CJ Stroud is in a place where he feels like, hey man, I need to get more aggressive. I think the aggression needs to also filter into the play call.
I think it absolutely does. And that includes the influence on the play calling from D'Amico Ryans and others, perhaps, because you have Joe Mixon, and part of you is thinking, well, Joe Mixon has been really, really good for the most part, but you don't want to sacrifice what your best weapon is. Your best weapon is C.J. Stroud. What do they say in basketball? You know, in crunch time, you don't call plays, you call players. This is crunch time. You got to call players. you know, your most successful player, that your MVP this season has been, you know, by and large, Joe Mixon, but he's not your best player. It's time to call your player, not your best play. And that means maybe D'Amico Ryan says, you know what, let's not, you know, because he wants to run. I mean, he's a defensive-minded coach. He wants to run the ball. Maybe it's time for, you know, let Bobby Slowick just let it rip with C.J. Stroud.
Now, I understand that there's a level of simplification happening here.
Sure.
I understand that. But I think the simplified idea that I'm coming to is you're doing this thing a lot that's not successful, so maybe limit the way that you do
yes.
that, because seeing as it's not successful. But I do wonder, right, with that, how what I'm asking for is basically throw the football more often. How confident are you that the line holds up with this new iteration? Because you saw kind of, you know, the organization mm-hmm. be a little bit better. But do you feel confident that they'll be able to hold up under a little bit more more situations of passing? Or do you think it helps, seeing as you maybe you're going into places where it's not nearly in some of the less obvious passing downs, you give yourself an opportunity to actually pick up yards and not have teams pinning their ears back and getting after you?
Yeah, I don't know anyone who could possibly have full confidence in that. I mean, the line has been bad. The line was really bad with Kenyon Green. It's been bad without Kenyon Green. And so I don't see how you could have full confidence. But, man, I mean, this is the guy that's going to – you're going to go as far as C.J. Carries you. And C.J. actually, you know, gave us a real hint there, you know, about I haven't been myself. You know, I was babying this or that. Well, that's not because of C.J. Stroud. That's because of what the line has done to C.J. Stroud. So, no, you can't have full confidence. But against a Dallas team that has struggled, against a team that maybe you can have some success because their DBs are bad and injured, like, you just got to make it happen and maybe build off of that.
Yeah, and I mean, this, I feel like this is not just about the Dallas game. I think the Dallas game gives you an opportunity to work on some of these things, especially against a less good opponent right now, seeing as where the Cowboys exist. But I do think that this needs to be kind of a potential philosophy change.
Exactly.
In the way that this team goes about offense for the rest of the season, right? You can talk about executing better, but at some point, you just have not been able to do it, particularly in the ways that you've done it. And we're talking about obvious passing downs, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not even necessarily saying you throw the ball in some of these other situations, which I think you should consider.
Yeah.
But at least in obvious passing downs, I understand that, look, man, obvious passing downs, you're going to put the line under some level of pressure. But I think that this is where quick passing and some, depending, as you mentioned, like calling the numbers of your best players, this is where Nico Collins being back should be incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
This is where Mechie's, you know, step up should be helpful. Getting the ball to them quickly, having them understand, I think this is one of the things that Nico Collins brings, understand that, hey, man, show the quarterback your eyes early in some of those instances where, you know, he might have some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then, so he can get the ball out quickly, get the guys into space, and then maybe even alleviate more pressure to where you can run the football more effectively.
Well, look, we said it last year. That last year, this was a team that really couldn't run the ball, you know, very little, and had to rely and become a pass-first team. If you've listened to the show for any amount of time, I was saying it in week four.
Yeah.
Guys, this is a pass-first team. It needs to recognize that and do that. Well, here we are with a team that's coming off a game where they couldn't really run the ball behind this offensive line.
Against a team that very much made it their effort to stop the run.
But, well, okay. That's what you're going to see a lot of. Guess what? You know, 2023 is 2024. This is a pass-first team. And, yeah, the offensive line doesn't give you a lot of comfort, but you got to use that.
On the text line from the 832, WTF is going on with Dalton Schultz and his piss-poor season. I think some of this is also like you have a lot of these instances where you're trying to run the football and you have these guys that are not capable of getting in there and blocking. But Dalton Schultz being a pass-catching tight end, as you know, whatever you want to say about that on the back end, you can.
Yeah.
That also is affected by, you know, C.J. Stroud's seemingly slightly down season and the ways in which I think the passing downs have kind of shaken out for this team. It feels like there's so many things that you can do to get yourself back on track, but it feels like you've slacked off in those ways. You've pulled back the efficiency of what should be, or what really does look like, is your best opportunity offensively, which is the passing game.
Well, look, maybe that was part of the conversation that they had. You know, he alluded to it twice, C.J. Stroud. He sat down and spoke, or whatever. He spoke with Dalton Schultz. He's got all the confidence in me. I have all the confidence in him. Maybe that was part of it.
little mini team meeting.
Yeah, like no specific to Dalton Schultz.
I'm messing around.
Yeah, no specific.
I feel like I'm
another
gonna,
players only. How many does that make now? No.
Yeah, I'm going to put everything in the context of players only meetings at this point. Please be prepared.
I think that might have been it. You know that they need to get Dalton Schultz more involved. Here's the other thing. Might we see, because maybe they're recognizing this and they're going to quote let it rip. You know, D'Amico talking about it, CJ talking about it. Might we see a different, more Dare Ogunbowale? You know, not necessarily at the, you know,
what, for pass protection?
For pass protection. And maybe, you know, more, you know, whenever you do go in a situation with Joe Mixon, you know, more blocking of Joe Mixon. You know, not necessarily he's going to run the ball as much, because they do need to let him, you know, go, you know, like you said, full send with CJ Stroud.
I do. The only thing I wonder about Dare is, are you getting to a place where you're going to continue telegraphing as you have in these
you have anyway
situations?
And he has run the ball a little bit.
He has,
you know,
but when you're talking about running the football, the dude who's been making these things happen is Joe Mixon. It's because of the explosives mm-hmm. that seemingly only he can do with your running back core, with all due respect to Dare and the way that he's helped.
Yeah.
I think if I have an opportunity to have Joe Mixon on the field, I would like to do that. And maybe that's another part of this, is that you've been running a little heavy on Joe Mixon. Right?
Yeah.
This last game, what was it, 25, 26 attempts? Mm-hmm. In addition, like, I think I would like to see Joe Mixon get the ball maybe a little bit less than that, but also see him get the ball, you know, with some catches, mm-hmm. right, out of the backfield. And I think that also can give you an opportunity where you're getting the ball to Joe Mixon, but now you're still passing the football, still forcing defenses to account in certain ways, and getting the ball into another one of your playmakers when you talk about calling their number. So I just look. Bobby Slowick has been a huge topic of discussion, but it feels like we're getting to a point where this thing is crystallized, man.
Yeah.
And what needs to be done. And I think this is where we're finding. I think this will be the real indictment: is are you able to see the clear trends that are there and make the adjustments that make this team right,
mm-hmm.
right, and make the offense move forward. Because if you're not progressing, like, then are we talking about just like what we saw on Thursday Night Football,
yeah.
the cliffening, right, that happens, mm-hmm. that Cliff Kingsbury cliff that happens with offenses? Then are you talking about something similar with Bobby Slowick? And at that point, then you have real conversations to have about
and that speaks to this game. Like, this is, and we talked about it today already, but if you can't do it against the Cowboys, then, oh boy.
Well, yeah. We'll see, because rightfully put on the by the 505 on the 5-hour energy fan line, Cowboys are horrendous against the run, particularly outside,
mm-hmm.
Outside the tackles, which the outside zone is there. And so you might get away with running the football this week, but I think that this week also presents an opportunity for you. Yeah, you can still run the football, but at least let's do it in a way that's smarter. Even with just the numbers.
And get CJ Stroud going.
As pro football, as PFF guy, right, Bobby Slowick? Let's lean into what the numbers are telling us.
Yeah.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, we'll get into our lunchtime confessions. We'll do next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
We mentioned the Rockets earlier, and my confession is I don't think I like this thing the NBA is doing with playing the same team twice in a span of 3 or 4 days. I get why they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, cutting down on travel and, you know, backs and forth. I don't know. I'm going to be very interested to see how many of these games are splits. The Rockets already have had one with the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
That was a split.
Yeah.
Spurs win the first one. You make your adjustments. You're in the town for a while. Rockets win the second one. Well, Rockets going to be doing the same thing with the Clippers tonight. You're going to be going to the game. I'll be very interested if this ends up being a split or what the stats are for the NBA with that. I don't think I like it. I really don't. I think you get a chance to make adjustments. You get a chance for the visiting team to sort of be at home a little more, you know, be at least in a comfort zone with where they are.
Also, you feel like there's a loss of home field
advantage,
home court advantage.
I really do. And I also think it's just, it doesn't quite feel right, you know?
Okay. One thing I will do for you is I'll see if I can look up what the numbers are on the split, the little baseball series that you have.
Sort of a mini back-to-back, but not literally back-to-back.
Yeah, no, yeah. You get the day in between with those series. Yeah, I'll have to look at it. I get some of what you're talking about, but I kind of do like the idea of getting a feel for, you know, what a team can do with another look.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the regular season, teams aren't advanced scouting necessarily. I mean, they are in some ways, but
it's not as thoroughly.
It's not nearly like the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so you get little moments of, okay, how much do these teams really stack up as opposed to where they happen to be situationally in the schedule?
Like, I would fully expect Harden to be much better. And for them to sort of make the adjustments, you know, with what the Rockets were doing. He kind of ate up the Rockets early on, but then Amen Thompson came in.
And Tari Eason.
And worked him. But there's going to be a point counterpoint. I don't think I like it. I as much as I get it, because you're trying to look for the health and cut back on this, you know, this load management stuff. I don't think I like it.
By the way, fun fact, Tari Eason and Amen Thompson, with the game that they had, 18-10 and 18-11, first pair of teammates in franchise history with 10-plus points and 10-plus rebounds while coming off the bench.
That is pretty impressive.
And Terror Twins.
I said it yesterday. That doesn't happen very often, to guys have two guys come off the bench with double-doubles.
Terror Twins.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah. I like it.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Thursday Night Football for me was one of the fun reminders. Also, I will I'll try and defend myself again. I don't know why I'm doing this so much. I should just take the L. I guess this was also a reason why, for some reason, I was thinking this was in was a Washington home game, even though it was very obviously at the Link, Lincoln Financial Field. But there was a image or a shot of the owner's box for the Washington Commanders. Bob Myers was in there. Bob Myers, the Warriors or former Warriors general manager, he's a consultant for the Commanders. And so he was shown in the owner's box. And that's why Thursday Night Football for me was a reminder of the ultimate hustle, consulting. I have a respect for the folks that do the consulting, because shout out to y'all.
You are preaching to the choir.
But what a hustle,
if
man.
If I could be a consultant, one of those six-figure consultants.
Man. How do I get into that gig, man?
Speaking of grifting.
I wasn't going to say all that, but, you know, hey, like one of the things I always think of as, you know, big college football fan over here is especially for a period of time in college football, you would see that a program went to the consulting firm to see who they should hire next.
Yeah.
And for some reason, every time it came back with like one of the obvious answers, and it was just like, here, hire Nick Saban's assistant.
Yeah,
I could have told you that.
Yeah.
Y'all paid $1 million or however many hundreds of thousand dollars for that. I could have done. I need to start a consulting firm.
Yes, exactly.
And so there's Bob Myers, a dude who was a GM for the Warriors. And I understand the Warriors, you know, did some very good things under his tenure, right? Clearly became dynastic in the NBA. But consulted for a football team, huh? For the Commanders?
Well,
and I guess he could take credit, right? His consulting resume or CV or whatever has gotten better, because you look at
what would you be consultant on? What would you be a best at consulting?
Ew.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
I mean, beyond the obvious, you know, media, radio, whatever.
You said consultants are grifters, and I don't want to go that far.
No, I'd be a grifter.
However, I think I would be a grifter, because I did not think that far. I was just like, be a consultant.
Absolutely would be a grifter. Like, 100%. We're talking about this. Like what would be your grift, so to speak.
And that's the thing, is I hadn't even thought that far. I was just like, consultant. Label Reginald Atitula consultant, print the business cards, make money. Nothing in between is necessary.
It you are, man. That is something I've always believed. Like, boy, if I could get that job, and we're going to pay me $75,000 to be a consultant on whatever. Fill in the blank. Maybe marketing. I don't know. I don't know.
Shout out Bob Myers.
Yeah.
Watch this.
So I mentioned yesterday, and I did in fact go see Zoo Lights last night at the Houston Zoo, which, by the way, highly recommend. It was kind of a preview night. We have some friends who work at the zoo, so we got to go the first night. And so
connections.
It's nice to know people. It is awesome. I would highly recommend. But here's my confession. As much as I am so adamant about you don't put up Christmas lights until after Thanksgiving, kind of gave me the urge. It kind of gave me the urge to go ahead. I'm not,
You still put up your own Christmas lights?
Oh yeah, I like doing it. I like to kind of. We do it kind of. We used to do it as a family, and now I do it. You know, just,
really, they did it as a family. That is the type of job where I imagine that ends up being.
Kids
dad.
Always whine and complain, but they like doing it.
Yeah, I was like, that
it.
Sounds yeah. very much like dad ends up doing it as a chore
and
as opposed to an activity. and which
I
is
did.
Why I honestly pegged you as a dude who would just be like, "Yo, we paying for this."
No, I don't like that. I mean, I get it in certain instances, and maybe as I get older, I'll be doing it more. But I just like the process and kind of figuring out where to put everything and all that. But I'm walking through this place last night. By the way, even got to see my granddaughter do a Santa Claus picture, which is always kind of
hey.
Cool. Yeah. But
was she one of the kids that was afraid of Santa? Or
she was great.
She was eating it up?
She was looking at his beard. This was the younger one. I have a 2-year-old and a soon-to-be 1-year-old granddaughter. And she was looking at at Santa's beard like remember the scene from Elf? You live on a throne of lies when he pulls the beard.
Wait,
off.
Did she pull it?
She was just pointing at it. She
oh,
was
like that's not
touching
yours.
It.
That's she's not
like,
real.
No, it was real.
Oh, it was a real
it
beard?
Was a really good Santa okay. Claus. And it was real, but she's like pointing it, and I'm like, all right, maybe I should put these lights up a little sooner. I don't know.
Okay.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Where did my confession go? I know there was something else. Oh, this is it. Thursday Night Football, also another confession here. And I don't know if there's anything better in sports than this thing that I saw on Thursday Night Football. Is when a team just decides they are going to run the damn ball down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
And then proceeds to do it. The Eagles, this is per Benjamin Solak of ESPN. He said the Eagles had 150 rushing yards before contact per Next Gen Stats,
yeah.
which is the third most in a game this season. There have been 222 games this season in which a team had less than 150 total rushing yards. Mm-hmm. They had more than that in before contact. They were just out here running it down them boys' throats.
Yes,
I was
they
like,
were.
Yo, because... And this is something that I know somebody was talking about on the text line. We were talking just last segment about Bobby Sloak and mm-hmm. how, you know, there's a lot of running and passing downs. And it's like, yeah, but okay, in this game in particular against the Cowboys, they're not good at stopping the run. Maybe you can punish them. Yeah. That's not how this Texas team runs the football. This Texas team is like, stuff, stuff, stuff. Here is 16 yards by Joe Mixon on a bounce.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 4 yards in a cloud of dust. Or if you're one of those teams that got it like that, right, where you are 6 yards and a cloud or whatever else, it's not dust. Because it's just like, that's what it looked like. It was just like, yo, line yeah. it up. Move them dudes 6 yards. Move them dudes 7 yards.
Be nice if we could see that, huh?
Oh, that'd be because I don't know that.
Kind of nice for those who can do that.
I sincerely don't believe there is anything better in sports than seeing a team just do that, right? Even a team, what would be the attempts at, you know, equaling that feeling
mm-hmm.
when in basketball, just seeing a team go to the rim and just dunk all over you. Yeah, that's cool. But how about when a running back is getting here and you can see it in
five, seven,
see it in the linebacker's eyes.
9.
We're not stopping this. What are we supposed to do? I'm not stopping this.
Must be nice.
Right? What is a similar thing in baseball? Right?
Yeah.
Is it just like back-to-back-to-back homers or what? I don't know what it is, right? Just stealing bases? I have mm-hmm. no idea, right? Is it Ricky Henderson? Because even then, I don't know that anything touches just watching a team run the damn ball over their opponent.
Yeah. It's one of the most impressive things, and I would like to experience that.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
So what do the kids like to say? Don't be an old, you know, or you're an old, you know, or one of those things. I don't
man,
think...
Man, what have the kids been talking about to you?
Well, no, they didn't say this. I was thinking this
okay,
to...
Okay, I was like, man, people just be walking up to you. Hey, stop being an old, Lopez.
I was thinking this to myself last night as I'm trying to order a hamburger and couldn't muddle my way through the menu. And I'm like, am I just being an old here?
No.
Because here's the thing.
We've ruined the hamburger game.
Don't overthink hamburgers.
We've ruined the hamburger
game. And let me say this right up front. Rodeo Goat is awesome. It's one of the best hamburger places. It's one of the best hamburger places in Houston. But, however, I'm looking at the menu, and I just want a hamburger, man. I want hamburger, cheese, lettuce, tomato, pickles, all the,
I think we're in different
the condiments. And I'm looking at the menu, and they're like, do you want the Chaka Oaxaca? Do you want the Billy? Do you want the Billy Gibbons?
I don't know if about that.
Do you want the Royale with cheese?
Oh
which,
yeah,
which I respect.
Yeah,
you know, I respect the reference.
Good reference.
Do you want the whiskey burger? Would you like the Marvin Zindler or the Bodacious?
Wait, hold on. Marvin Zindler, great man. Glad we named something after him. Does that not take your mind to bad places?
It does.
Okay.
House ground beef patty, applewood smoked bacon, beefsteak tomato, jalapenos, shredded
lettuce.
You're
making me hungry now. I don't understand what we're doing here.
Or would you like the Neil Young? And my kids are just like ordering. They know exactly what they want. And I'm like, I just want a hamburger. Just a burger. Does that make me an old?
Yes. Yeah, that one does.
No.
Because
Byron?
Yes.
I'm like that too. I'm with you, John.
Boo.
I just want a burger. And Rodeo Goat, it's not a reflection of them, because I think it's a reflection of, like, they're catering to a market that people like to overthink things.
This is an upscale burger, though.
It's a great burger. It's not about them. It's like, would you like the
Well, take your keister McDonald's, then.
The Chaka Oaxaca.
You're at the wrong place.
What's on the damn Chaka Oaxaca?
You got the menu in front of you.
It's a beef and chorizo patty.
That sounds delicious.
With queso fresco, a fried egg, avocado spread, pico de gallo, Tabasco mayo, and on a brioche bun. I'm sure it's delicious.
That is true culinary art. Look at that.
The fried egg is what it is.
Wait, you don't like the fried egg on the burger? Have you tried it before?
No.
Oh, you got to, brother.
Yeah.
I don't want yolk on my burger or anything.
I'm not crazy about it, but it's okay.
Y'all don't know ball, man. What is happening right now?
So
I thought we were going to complain about the same thing. Y'all complaining about the wrong thing.
And again, I'm sure it's delicious. It's not a reflection of Rodeo Goat. It's a great place. But you know what I ended up getting? The Nanny Goat. And you know why I got the Nanny Goat? I had to go through every burger, and that was the closest one to just a burger. I just want a cheeseburger.
See, I thought we were going to complain about the same thing. Here I am hating.
What were you going to complain
about? I was going to complain about all these upscale restaurants with the burgers, which is nice, right? You get the different burger, and then the fries are separate. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm at a burger place.
Yeah.
Give me the whole thing, right? You know I want fries with this.
Mm-hmm.
The burger should come with fries. The burger can't be separate, $15, and the fries
really
an extra
should.
$7.
It
like,
really
how does
should.
That work?
Yeah, it really should.
I'm mad at you now, though. I thought we were supposed to have a good time complaining about not getting fries along with the burger. And you out here talking about the culinary excellence and how that is
last too much. Last one. I got to give you what's on the Neil Young. I'm a big Neil Young fan. I saw Neil Young on the menu. I'm like, okay. Homemade vegan patty. Hydroponic sprouts. What the hell is a hydroponic sprout? Beefsteak tomato, avocado, and green goddess dressing. I just want a hamburger. I just want a burger. I'm a simple man with simple needs.
Yeah, shout out to the people that know ball. King Young on the YouTube. Fried egg and avocado, separate fries. And then shout out also to the guy T-Mill. You hear him on the drive later. He said, quote, I'll take the Zindler burger, slime from the ice machine on the side. That's absolutely how you have to order that one.
Did you try just asking for a cheeseburger? Well, I didn't want to go too far in.
Oh, wow. So you didn't just ask, but you was out. Never mind. I'm not dealing
with
you.
It's the menu. I'm like, I just want a cheeseburger.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I don't think that I've ever been so disappointed in one of your confessions. And you've had some wild ones.
Yeah.
But there you go. Your lunchtime confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Appreciate you hanging out with us in the loop. Coming up next, we're still gearing up for some football this weekend. Even though the big time football with the Texans is on Monday, we'll still have more opportunity to talk about that. But let's get you ready for the college football weekend with John Lopez's college football headline. We'll do that next. Yeah, happy Football Friday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It's John Lopez, myself, Reginald Atatula, and Byron Matthews sitting in for Figgy Fig. Took the day off to do a little bit of charity work. I always knew Fig was a good guy.
He's a giver.
Just more evidence of such things, except when he's not.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Aren't we all?
That's right. That's right. And in the giving spirit, Lopez, after seeing Zoo Lights, just felt like he wanted to give to you fine folks. So on this Friday, he delivers to you a college football headline for your college football weekend.
Yeah, man. Well, you know what the headline is today? Staying alive.
Papa Roach.
You got to stay alive this week. And
I'm glad that was clean. I wanted to make sure to not step on that or anything.
Yeah, man.
But we're going to be able to cut that up and use that in the future if we need it.
Staying alive.
Okay.
Big staying alive weekend in college football. We start, of course, between the hedges. Between the hedges, the game of the week without question. They're going to be fighting like crazy in there, man, because both Tennessee and Georgia. Tennessee, I think they're 6 in the college football playoff recent rankings. If they lose, they might not fall out of the playoff, But man, that's an SEC team that probably deserved to get a little higher ranking. They were one of my picks early in the season, and maybe surprised. They have been surprising. But Georgia, they were ranked number one going into the season. They have lost twice, and they lose another one, they're gone. I mean, that's going to be a huge development for Georgia, but they are at home.
Yeah, this Georgia team is, as you mentioned, it just feels weird that they're not in that place. But I think weirder yet for me is this Tennessee team that we've gotten used to over the last few years with Josh Heupel being one of those up and down offenses, mm-hmm. spread it out and just chuck it up there, especially with the likes of Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker just letting it fly. Nico Iamalieva, close, not yeah. quite there, but you got the idea. Right.
We know who he is.
Early on, it looked like he might be able to do that. Like, you got one game in, you're like, ooh, him against Chattanooga looks fun. Mm-hmm. And then we've noticed that, okay, he's not quite that. And the offense just really isn't the explosive part. The thing that's fascinating to me about Tennessee is just they have a big boy defense, which is not something that I typically think about at Tennessee. So this one might be one of those grinded out games that you would not expect of a Tennessee game versus Georgia.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because what I was going to say is Tennessee, remarkably, they have to run the ball, and they've got a really good running back. They've got Dylan Sampson. He has to have a big game. And Georgia got exposed on the offensive line by a really good Ole Miss defensive front. Well, guess what Tennessee has? A really good defensive front.
Absolutely.
So that is going to be the game to watch, and one of them is going to have to be staying alive.
Yeah, Georgia, not a great offense. Like, it's one of those things that you kind of – it's one of the things in college football that happens a lot is that we take a brand and we sometimes don't distinguish individual years of teams from one another, and they just kind of become that brand and what we expect of them. Georgia's offense, not all that solid. Yeah. In fact, like, analytically, they are right next to Georgia Southern offensively, if you think about it, with
that?
Adjusted EPA. So that's what we're talking about offensively from Georgia with a solid defense. This might be tough for them against Tennessee.
Yeah. Texas at Arkansas in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
I was like, you talking about game of the week. This is game of the week for me.
Well, to me, Tennessee, Georgia, because of what we just talked about.
Sure.
Texas at Arkansas is definitely in the discussion. And I've been high on the Longhorns this year, which I know, I hate them, and I hope they lose the day after
Thanksgiving.
Except
when you didn't. Except when they were your favorite team.
I'm high on how they're playing, on how they are and what they are. I think this might be a little bit of a – well, weird things happen in Arkansas, in Texas, Arkansas, and especially in Fayetteville. Weird things happen. I wouldn't necessarily pick Arkansas to upset them. But it all depends on which quarterback shows up, which Talen Green, not different quarterbacks, which Talen Green shows up for the Hogs, because he's been really bad against good defenses in Ole Miss and A&M, but really good against Tennessee, which we just talked about.
Yeah, and Texas is another one of those really good defenses that they'll face off against. In some ways, I think more about the other side of this, about making sure offensively mm-hmm. that Quinn Ewers is doing, not the, errant kind of guy that he can be sometimes when he's hitting on the money, making those Sark plays work. Sark can draw up some ball plays. I think that'll go well.
No.
And then everybody will be all right. Everything will be all right with the world, because if there's one thing about this, like, attempted renewed rivalry, is that this one feels a lot like if you ever watch Mad Men, that moment where Don Draper and was it Pete? Me in the elevator.
I'm trying to place it because I was a big fan.
And Pete was like, I feel so bad for you, or whatever. And Don is like, I don't think about you at all. Like that is how this relationship is, right? Where Arkansas just wants this rivalry so damn bad, and Texas is like, what are y'all doing? Like,
no, but weird things happen in this game.
About this rivalry.
Weird things happen in this game.
But yeah, it would be interesting if Arkansas went and got something done. Mm-hmm. In this.
All right, Utah at Colorado, man. Don't look now. That, we know Colorado is a surprise. We've talked about it.
Good team.
Their offensive line has been pretty good the last few games. And not, the offensive line has been their biggest issue since Deion got there.
Correct.
Like it for years now. But they've kind of come along and given Shedeur Sanders enough time to get things done. They've looked really good. But Utah's coming off a pretty dang good big win, big loss. They said they should have won to BYU.
On
the
paper,
they played pretty well.
They felt like they won.
Yeah,
shout out to Daryl Moore.
Yeah, exactly. So, Colorado, man, staying alive if they can get this thing done at home.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Utah defensively is going to give them hell.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see what that clash looks like. A Colorado offense that fully spreads it out and lets Shedeur cook, how it goes up against a, you know, top 20 defense in Utah.
They blitz a lot.
Utah's just nothing offensively.
Nothing offensive, but they will. They're one of those teams, like they like to say, they start blitzing coming off the bus. I mean, they will blitz a lot, so it's going to be really, really
fun
good.
Fun jersey matchup, though. I will say that.
How so? I'm trying to place them.
Well, I mean, like, it depends on what Utah is wearing. But I know, thinking back to that mm-hmm. game in the Utah rivalry where you have Utah versus BYU and you had that beautiful blue versus that red.
Yeah.
Now you take that red and you place it against the black and gold of Colorado. I think that's a fun one.
Yeah.
And that'll make the eye test more appealing even on a game that could get a little ugly.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of staying alive, another team that I hate but I've been kind of high on. And I don't know why I do this to myself. I guess I'm just trying to be honest. Like, I really think Texas is good. I really think Notre Dame is good. But remember last week when I said keep an eye on Georgia Tech against Miami?
You did say that.
Keep an eye on Virginia against Notre Dame. I'm not saying they're going to upset Notre Dame, but they're coming off a big win off of Pitt against Pitt, Virginia. And they have a quarterback. Kind of like the game they lost at home, by the way. This is the Notre Dame's last home game of the year, unless they host a playoff game. That run, you know, dual threat, a true dual threat quarterback. It can maybe give you some issues. And maybe this is the hatred I have for Notre Dame coming through. But Notre Dame always, when you least expect it, just lays an egg. They just lay an egg.
It does feel like that's the case. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I have not watched nearly enough Notre Dame football, because you said
they're
Notre
really
Dame
good.
And my mind's eye did not come to like some thoughts about Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, 404 error, nothing here. So I might have to tap into this football game if for no other
I think they're really good
to get a feel for still what Notre Dame's doing.
But I think they're really good. And then one more, just because they're still hanging on by a thread. They're staying alive. So many SEC teams that still have a legitimate chance to get to the championship game. Missouri is one of those. Missouri still has a shot, but guess where they're going? South Carolina might be one of the hottest teams in the country right now. They've won, I think, three in a row. They beat A&M at home convincingly. Battle of the Columbias. How about that?
Yeah.
Battle of the Columbias, Missouri and South Carolina. And if they don't get it done at South Carolina, well, then they're done. They will not be staying alive.
Yeah, South Carolina plays with a lot of purpose, which is a lot of credit to what Shane Beamer does there. It feels like Missouri offensively is just get the ball to Luther Burden, and even that does not feel like it has been as effective as it can be this year. I'm all in on South Carolina on this one. It feels like they've put together a little bit more belief and a little bit better of a system of what they're doing. There you go. You're staying alive weekend. I'm not doing the whole thing. In college football, the headline that you're looking at, courtesy of John Lopez in the Loop. All right, coming up next, we head into our final hour of this Football Friday, where we have to ask this question. Are we really doing this with D'Amico? Like, what seems to be the scuttlebutt or like the conversation out there about faith in D'Amico? Are we really doing this? We'll talk about it next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.